Good evening. A warm welcome to the service this evening. Again, good to see a few visitors with us and back with us this evening as well. We're going to begin this time of worship. We'll sing to God's praise and we'll sing from Psalm 16. We sing the first praise in the evening in Gaelic. So Psalm 16, the last two stanzas of the psalm. We're in Ecclesiastes 9, which thinks about, it talks to us about being ready for death and being ready for life. And this is a psalm which points us forward to Jesus and points us forward to the resurrection life that we are given in Christ. Because my soul in grave to dwell shalt not be left by thee, nor wilt thou give thine Holy One corruption to see. Thou wilt me show the path of life, of joys there is full store. Before thy face at thy right hand are pleasures evermore. These two verses we'll sing to God's praise in Gaelic, remaining seated to sing, and after that, John McSween will come and lead us in a word of prayer in Gaelic, please.
Ye grass for renew his fianist. When the nicht in der Schen, auch um Schiernan. Er will aber nicht in Schierwene Pehacho. So ich will nicht knien, in die nicht in der Hus, für die Philippinen. Er hat wunderschön Salame, was in die Schen König geht. Nach der Kuhm und Uwe Jeschen, es geht die Gedeke, der Buhe Hadische, Uwe Jusspa. Skvělé čísla na můrach, i do nich noh kučené vetrýuje, i do sonja. Šině květa den mehta to lajbu. Šachra nach nár toje, to limru do kdyje se šlije. Ani lach kvůho se tně karede to hals. A u se na tuli lí kárst, a u nův na tuli nýho, a u sádi je kachur. Jaký šině na tvůj, je to už, rovný šině šli jen k tomu nějakým fejím, je to všechno to roče v čídoch. Zkě to chodin kůdů, tka to chodů kůdůň, a když nám hvíče, ošta či chodů tvachka, sůr. Už je věn, že šině povrvaný stangilo, která pěchky chňuádi maršině, a nekudíř. Hvis jeg er til nul og hulle sig dog, hvis jeg dog hos andet sig, og hvis jeg skal nå det. Hvis de er sygultat, vi kan gjerne våren, hvis jeg vil kjenne fanget jo. Og jeg er til nær at talenten sig, ved at bo ikke kan hav. Skal jeg lære noe igjen. Hvis jeg er til å bo i her, og jeg er spas med det gittene, kan vi komme jo til. Alla amore tasha khornul. Hus biakin tuli shalasha. Biakin tulu. Es kikach zulu. Upikach kunu. Te nondach shangu. Na to vandu gyevi anishche. Vajan kivashin. Krinyakha koni hele biklinja. Tizi nevdishche shieskun. Khumus kivashin ee peyakhu la. Het is wel een kwestie niet zo'n te groeien, kon je gelden. Als hij zei dat je kan wel een kwestie niet goed. Hoe is je niet even aan het je? Het is een kwestie van een pers. En je zei niet al het driezen, en geen woord. Zij kan niet een kroeg geweest, maar als je een runnerijsje. Dan kun je ze wees in de kamer. Met zijn pjogen heen. Dan wees in pjogen. Den ich in Föhne falle sich nicht besser, hat auch schon stehen. Wir gehen in Glücke, so kommen aus Gebüse, ein Riecher hat er gesehen. Es gibt ein Schöne, so den ich mir fehne, in der Krankheise, ein paar Sachen gehen in jen. So schien Pjog an den Jeden Tag, auch sicher. Pjog ich gach Dach, ich kann dann nicht Schöne machen. Der hier ist der Hohle, so wie es gach Dach. Hvis vi kan gøre dårlig til den vøgnes, gør det for sur i bjå. Skjønne ikke gjøre sin evig anetjørne. Jeg har så ikke en armisk, men jeg må si en jeg har skjønn. Men tjene ut er ikke vel skjønn. Jeg synes ikke vi er morsa. Jeg vet stod lunger nann. Kan jeg sikkert ikke ha det i slidlan eller ut. Jeg kunne oss den etasje. Ach, to lau se de stjul, vedu gache sin fa jog, ka vi mali de kliust, vusse se ne sa. Pian ich te hede vesach, ha mali dins, vudu tochkul, hede chure meenig noch, ka vi gai de stjusie se de zon. Gedeni sin talach, vi jevi anit, kvele versuri pio, skata lai en tarocho, cimich lor. Ha, usse chasele se vaudir, zau kudu fjachka katiunz. Pianich kach keika tjökle shed hal. Usse kach shede vashe chudu, machle, neach gajunach, no reet. Kvar kdiuste, ga gudu gajunzi. Je vianiste, kvar pjachki, e pilsi katiunzi. Umus kamadde gunanem pjohu. Ég er sinni gefi annistu. Það er að skynna þetta fengið með sinna grunnet sånn krist. Kan bruke solen i dasklu, blåsen i dasklu med riketen. Og skal fiske rettunnet til vers. Røyjerkene til uvel gjør å synge, kan bruke skyetjen etter røyjerkes røyjerk. Og snakk på at det gjør i forlom kokkene små. Ach, vi gjør i til røyjerk som vi har oss. Så når røyjerk kan ha oss, da tunnige dårsen går. Jeg er vjennet, ikke tykke tusse. Det er alle til græs, gud, det er en pannen jeg kjenner. Jeg husker skje til gud til spillet til gaskoen i dag. Jeg husker bukslig og rete, jeg til høyskal, jeg sier, krigen røyek, kan jeg huske krigen, jeg. Vjennet klokke kjenne, så kjenne 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 og rekke langs. Jeg kjenne, ikke vel triplettjen, så jeg kjenne ikke vel ulog, Mi o'n i tri pletyn o'r. As nes o'i hyn a hach gyf i anodd. Bi hyn ydw coniw gych cymryd y dli. Chyma gwrs a tri gwrs a yn rham sy'n gadw gwrs bys. Wlyg sy'n yw'r ddar a tri pletyn y tos o'ch o. Lwyn am awlwys. Tis i sy'n sy'n o lai yn y sy'n. As ni'n cynnwch y lwch gwy roi'n mar y gyf yn slwch ni ymdre. Ys y tiach gyda fo ys y tywl o'r. Ys y pan o fach sy'n pwch, fe sy'n ystyw, ac ys yng Nghymru o'n lwy. I o'r ni adsyn, a dyn y greu mi ddech o dwi'n sy'n ach mi gybrach iddo o'r stwb. Gyfyrd y spirit hyn, a dyn y stiach sy'n tyd i gaif. Ys ys gwnnw'n ddolna nhw sy'n geddi na dal. Bianni sy'n yw'r mor sy'n ei ef i annet. Gyfi ffas at yr eich sydd alw, ar gach ni el y sy'n as yn gyrru. Ys gyfwch glod yr eich, frin gach, rhywch gyd alw. Gafen es i nŵws o slaimins, gymian chyd o gynnywli. Ys gydod o gyn manis, gysyw yn hacet na anlygu. Nŵl ys gach ddi ys ys gyrru. Amen.
Amen. We'll sing to God's praise again, and we'll sing from Mission Praise 1217. If we are to enjoy life that's everlasting, if death is to be crushed, then there had to be a cross, and we sing now about the power of the cross. If you could turn now, please, in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, as we carry on in our studies in Ecclesiastes. This was just on the table this morning under the desk, so if somebody's lost or left behind an ESV Bible with a few bits and pieces of notes inside it, it looks pretty well read, I'll leave it there, collect it at the end, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we'll read from verse 1 to verse 10. But all this I lay to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God. Whether it is love or hate, man does not know, both are before him. It is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner, and he who swears as is he who shuns an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. But the one who is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead knows nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished, and forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun. Go eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white, let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love, all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Amen, and may God bless that reading of his word to us. We'll sing again to God's praise, Mission Praise 1075, Jesus, All for Jesus. Thank you. If you could turn back, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And again, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the hope of the gospel message. We thank you for the power of the cross. We thank you that death is crushed when we are trusting in Jesus. He has taken the sting out of it. We thank you for the life that is ours to live, life which we begin to live in this world as we walk with you, and life which is known in greater measure in all that's prepared for those who go from here to be with Jesus. We thank you for the new heavens and the new earth. We thank you for the prospect of all that has been promised for those who are in Christ when he returns. And we ask, Lord, that every one of us here, and any who may be listening or watching at a distance, we pray that we would know the assurance that we will have a place prepared for us, that we will have life assured to us. And we thank you that the gospel is an offer. The price is paid. We thank you that it's a free offer. It's an offer to whosoever will come. And we pray that each one of us this evening would come to Jesus, that we would surrender our lives, our all, to the Lord Jesus, that we would live lives which are pleasing to you, that are honouring to him, lives which will be satisfying to ourselves, because we know, Lord, that the reality is the more we seek pleasure for ourselves, the less satisfied we are. But the more we seek to live for your glory, the more we know peace and purpose and joy in this world. So bless your word to us, we pray. Help us to understand. And bless each person who is here, each person who watches at a distance. Bless each home that's represented. We pray for those who are in the building. We pray for perhaps some that we've left behind in our homes this evening. We pray for those that we perhaps want to be sitting with us in the chairs around us and yet who have no will to come. And as we see them in our mind's eye, we pray for them. And we ask, Lord, that you would work in each heart. We thank you that you are the God who is able in a moment to quicken, to awaken, to revive. And so we ask, Lord, that as we think of those whom we love, as we think of those whom we work with and we spend time with, as we think perhaps even of those that we struggle with, we bring them to you in prayer. And we ask, Lord, that you would work in their lives, that where there are those who are lost, that you would seek them. And Lord, that they would be found, that they would be saved by your amazing grace. And where there may be others who are your children, but perhaps are lukewarm, we pray that you would touch each heart and that you would draw them to yourself. So we pray for ourselves, we pray for those that we love, we pray for all those that you place upon our hearts that we would be burdened for. Bless them, minister to them as we pray that you would minister to us. Take away our sin, Lord, we pray as we confess it. Pour out your Spirit upon us, we ask. Empty us of self and enable us to see Jesus. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In this life, we prepare for all kinds of uncertainties. We step out of the house in the morning, as we might have done this morning about 10 o'clock. The sun's shining, and we step out with optimism, but we take a jacket with us because it might rain. It did rain. Not certain, but as we step out of the house, even when the sun is shining, we tend to prepare for things that might happen, things that are uncertain. Or when we make travel plans, as we have to on an island, we book a ferry, we book a flight, but often we'll travel the day before the meeting that we know that we have to be at, because we're just not certain that the ferry or the plane will go on the morning of the day of the meeting. And even in terms of our admin, our paperwork, we take out insurance for our homes and for our buildings, for our contents, for our cars, perhaps for our pets, for our mobile phones. And we take out insurance just in case there's an accident or there's some kind of incident, some kind of unforeseen situation that would land us in difficulty. These things aren't certain. They might never happen. But we prepare regularly for the possibility of things that may not actually come to pass. And all that is wise. It's prudent. It's prudent. It's wise to prepare for things that may not actually be certainties. But one thing that is certain that many people actually make no preparation for is death. And so Solomon, if this is the writer of this book, Solomon teaches us that wisdom requires for us to be ready to die. And only when we are ready to die can we actually be ready to live and experience life in fullness. So, 2 points this evening. First of all, ready to die. And secondly, when we are ready to die, then we can move on to the second point. We're ready to live. So, verse 1, as we've just stepped through the verses, the title in the ESV for the section from verse 1 down to verse 6 is Death Comes to All. And the teacher Solomon says, "But all this I laid to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God. Whether it is love or hate, man does not know, both are before him. It is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner. And he who swears is as he who shuns an oath." Now the big picture, the main point in this section, as we step out into it, is that all die. The righteous and the wicked, the good and the evil, the clean and the unclean, the religious and the secular, death comes to all. That's the overwhelmingly clear point that is made in this section. And that's just a fact. It's a teaching that comes through the teacher in this section, but that's a fact that all of us cannot deny. We look back over history and we see the evidence of this. There have been some people who have lived good, selfless lives. They've made a difference in a positive way. And there have been some very bad people who have lived selfishly and have caused great harm and great violence. But all die. All share the same destiny. And so the teacher says it's the same for all. The same event happens to all. And for some it's after a lot of years and a full life. And for others, death comes suddenly and unexpectedly. But death comes to all. We might read this and think, what's the point in actually stating this so bluntly? You know, why does Solomon feel it so necessary to state so bluntly something that's so obvious and actually so painfully obvious to us? And I think the reason that this is stated so baldly, so bluntly, is because many people never face this fact. There are many people who live as if they were never going to die. We wouldn't have to walk long. We wouldn't have to wander long through the streets of Tarbert even to find somebody who has no thought of death. And any thought of death that may come to him will be pushed away immediately. So no preparation is made because no thought is given. And so Solomon almost provocatively states this so clearly. Death comes to all. And this is something that our culture, whichever decade we look back over, is so reluctant to actually face. And think back to the 1970s, there's some Bob Dylan fans here. And one of the songs that he sang in the 70s was a song about being forever young. Think back to the 90s. There are some people who can remember songs by a band called Oasis, and they sang about being young and invincible. Their main, most famous song was about living forever. But the truth is, we're not going to live forever here under the sun. We are not going to be forever young in this world. And if the mirror doesn't show us that fact day by day, Solomon is confronting us with that fact. Death comes to all. Verse 3. He continues, "This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead." So Solomon, not only does he tell us the plain facts that all die, but he also makes clear in this section that this is an evil thing. Death is not something that we just shrug our shoulders over. Death is not something that we're neutral towards. Death makes us sad. Death makes us angry. Death is evil. That's why Jesus was angry when he was confronted with death. Remember in John chapter 11, Jesus, he goes in response to the message of Mary and Martha to see his friend Lazarus, who is sick. And as Jesus journeys in the direction of Lazarus, he dies. And Jesus goes to the place where his friend Lazarus lies, and he is dead, and he sees the sorrow, he sees the grief that surrounds him in that situation. And it says in John chapter 11 that Jesus was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And in the Greek, I'm no Greek scholar, but in the Greek it's made clear that within that phrase, deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled, there is anger. As Jesus sees death, he is angry. Why is he angry? Because he was seeing the evil effect of sin and Satan. So death comes to all because all are sinners. The wages of sin, a universal truth, the wages of sin, as sin has come into the world, is death. So all die, but this is an evil thing. Verse 4. "But he who is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. And they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished. And forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun." Now, what do we make of these verses? How can we sort of put a headline over these verses? Well, without going into the details of them, I think the summary for this section from verse 4 to verse 6 is, where there's life, there's still hope. Where there's life, there's hope. Remember the parable in Luke chapter 16? You don't need to go there just now. But remember the parable in Luke chapter 16 of Lazarus and the rich man. In that parable, the rich man, he is dead. and he's in hell, and he sees those who are in heaven. He sees this place where there is life. He recognizes those whom he swept to the side during his time in life, and he recognized them in the place of life, and yet he is in this place of death, and he can't get to the place of life. And so Abraham says to him, as he has this conversation with the rich man, Abraham says to the rich man, "Between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." So what's the point? Well, the point is, as long as we are alive in this world, and this is a point that whether you're in S1 or primary wherever, or whether you're 95, it's easy to understand, and it's important that we grasp. What's the point of this? The point is, as long as we are alive in this world, there is the opportunity to trust God. As long as we have breath, as long as we have today, as long as we are in the land of the living, we have the opportunity to trust God, to seek forgiveness, and to receive eternal life, to receive a place in heaven. So tonight we, who Solomon here calls the living, we have the offer of hope. And that hope is found in trust in Jesus. So let me ask every one of us here tonight, have we trusted in Jesus? From the school children to the busy middle-aged, to those who are moving through the years, have we trusted in Jesus? Do we have eternal hope? Do we have sure and certain hope? It's only found in trust in Jesus. If we want to be ready to die, and none of us know the day, the hour that we will die, if we want to be ready to die, we need to trust in Jesus whilst we still can. And we can today. John chapter 3, verse 16, you know it so well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Whoever here, whoever out there believes in Jesus tonight, there's the promise that they will not perish, they will not die. It's eternal life. John chapter 11, as he speaks to those who are mourning, as he prepares to raise up his friend Lazarus, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then Jesus says to them, and he says to us, "Do you believe this?" 2 Corinthians 6:2. "In a favorable time," says the Lord through the Apostle Paul, "in a favorable time I listened to you, and a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day. Now is the day of salvation." Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not when you're 30, not when you're 40, not when you're 60, not when you're 90. I've visited homes and spoke to people in their 90s who've said, "Not yet." And who've gone to the end of their days, as far as I know, saying, "Not yet." The Lord says 2 Corinthians 6:2, today is the day of salvation. So Solomon, as he brings up the subject of death, he's pointing us to Jesus. As we've seen all the way through this book, in the bleakness of this book often, there is the pointer to the Lord Jesus. In the darkness of Ecclesiastes, we are being given an appetite for the light of Christ. As we come to terms with the fact that death comes to all, we are being pointed to the Saviour who came to crush death. Have you ever thought about the fact that the only man who never had to die because he had no sin, he chose to die. He chose to go to the cross in our place. All of us, we have to die. We have no option. The wages of sin is death. We are sinners. We must die. But Jesus had no sin. He didn't have to die. He is life. And yet he chose to come to this world, to lay down his life, to die in our place. And he promises that if we believe in him, we have the assurance of eternal life, his life, and we will be made ready to die. Are you ready to die tonight? It's the stark question and application. I hope none of us do die tonight, but are we ready to die? One of the commentators, David Gibson, he says, looking hard at death can pave the road to life. And so Solomon, in these verses, he makes us look hard at death in the hope that we will look for life, and that life comes in and through Jesus. So, in Christ, we are made ready to die. In Christ, we have life that's eternal. And in Christ, we have life in this world. So not only when we trust Jesus are we made ready to die, but we're also made ready to live. And that's our second and our final point. And that takes us from verses 7 through to verse 10. Ready to die, secondary, ready to live. I've told you before that I like airports. Some people hate airports. They hate going and all the stuff that goes on in airports. I like airports, but I only like airports once I've checked in and got through all the security checks and everything's done. Once all the important stuff is done, once I'm ready to fly, I like to wander about the place, get a coffee, take a wander through a few shops, have a cake, sit down, savour it, and watch all these interesting people just pass me by. It's a great hour or two in an afternoon when you're ready to fly. And I know it's not the best illustration, but when we are ready to fly from time to eternity, when we have trusted God, when we know that we are ready for the hereafter, then and only then can we really enjoy life here. If you're not prepared to die, if you're not prepared for eternity, for that never-ending eternity that spans before us, how can we possibly enjoy life, this little life? But once we know that we're ready to go from this world to eternity and we are secure, we are safe, we can enjoy this life. We can see this life for what it is in perspective. When we're ready to die, we're actually made ready to live. When we're ready for eternity, we can actually begin to enjoy this small segment of time that God has allowed us to have. And what we're encouraged to do in verses 7 to 10 is to enjoy life. So what are we to enjoy in terms of life? What is a life that is enjoyed look like? Well, it'd be interesting to ask that question. If our Bibles were closed and we hadn't read Ecclesiastes 9, it'd be interesting to ask the question, what does it look like to enjoy life? What would we need to have to enjoy life? Well, what we see in the verses 7 through 10 is it's not the huge, expensive, decadent things that give us the greatest joy. It's the simple things with the people that God puts around us. So there's 4 things. I'll just give you the points. We'll be done by 7. Don't panic. There's 4 things that Solomon highlights in this next section. He says, enjoy your meals. It's good news for some of us. Enjoy your meals. Enjoy marriages. You know, we had a marriage here on Friday, a wedding celebration. Enjoy marriages and parties, these special occasions, says Solomon. That's the second thing. The third thing he says, enjoy marriage. Enjoy your marriages. And the last thing he says is enjoy your work. So first of all, enjoy your meals. Verse 7. Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. When we were flying back, sorry to talk about London again, but it just came as an illustration in my mind. When we were flying back from London last week, we were sitting in the plane, and Mary asked the question, of all of us, what did you enjoy most in the few days that we had away? And the girls were answering, and I was sitting there thinking, what did I say here? What did I enjoy most? And there's lots of things I enjoyed. The sights were good. It's great to experience and see the sights. There's lots that I enjoyed about the time in London. But you know the first thing that came to my mind when I thought about what I enjoyed most in London? It was a cheeseburger. It was a beautiful burger, and it had it's a nice beef patty, and it had a melted cheese, and it had a couple of things of bacon on it, and there was onion rings in there, and there was crispy chips. And this cheeseburger wasn't just any cheeseburger. The bun was actually dipped in gravy. And it had a full sugar Coke to go with it, and I loved that cheeseburger. Then the following day, we went out for breakfast to this wee place in Covent Garden, and we had waffles, and we had bacon, and we had cheese, and we had syrup, and we had amazing coffee, and I enjoyed these meals. And I felt a wee bit guilty, actually, about thinking that the first thing that came to my mind was a burger and some waffles. But I think Solomon says to me, no, that's a good answer. Enjoy your meals. Be thankful to God for the bread and the wine that he's approved for you to eat. And part of living and part of enjoying life is savoring and being thankful for the things that the Lord puts even on our plates. When we have the children's prayer meeting, I've said this so many times, they thank God each week for a cozy house and a roof over their heads and food on their plates. And that's a good thing. Part of enjoying life is enjoying the good gifts that he has given to us. We can worship the Lord at least 3 times a day as we go and eat and drink. So enjoy life, says Solomon. Enjoy your meals. Why don't you make a cheeseburger this week? Put away the salad. Second thing, enjoy marriages and parties. Verse 8, let your garments always be white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Now, going back in time to the average Jewish home at the time this was written, Wiersbe the commentator says, life was difficult in the average home, but every family knew how to enjoy special occasions such as weddings and reunions. That's when they wore their white garments were a symbol of joy, and anointed themselves with expensive perfumes instead of the usual olive oil. These occasions were few, so everybody made the most of them. Think about Jesus in John chapter 2. We see him, and where is he? He's at a wedding. Think about the very different accounts that were given of Jesus as he moves from place to place. So often, the encounters that we read of are encounters where he's eating and he's drinking and he's spending time with the people that are around him. And these are things that Jesus enjoyed in this world. If we want to see life in all its fullness, we see it in Jesus. And he's out and about, and he's amongst people. And one of the things that should be part of our lives as we enjoy them is to go out and to enjoy these special occasions, marriages and these parties that we're given occasion to go to. Solomon says, yeah, put on the glad rags, get out the white clothes. Splash on the Brut 33 if it still exists. Enjoy them. Enjoy your meals, enjoy marriages and parties. Of course, there's a line here we've got to watch. This is not taken to excess. This is not some kind of warrant for gluttony and for drunkenness and for all kinds of hedonism. But these are good gifts. These are occasions that we're to enjoy. The third thing is we're to enjoy marriage, verse 9. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life. I'm not sure that would be the best text for an engagement card or an anniversary card. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love, says Solomon. How many couples, and often Christian couples, get to a place where they endure marriage rather than enjoy it? And where they stop communicating and just suffer each other? That wasn't God's design. Remember, back in the very beginning, Eve was good for Adam, and Adam was good for Eve. That's the way it was. That's the way it should still be. And it takes work, because every marriage is two sinners living with each other, sometimes annoying each other. But where God has given us a wife or a husband, we can and we should enjoy life together. Now, Solomon, if it's Solomon that's writing this, he hadn't got this one right. He'd gone way off course in this one. He'd made a mess of marriage 1,000 times over. And so perhaps he writes with some regrets. But God uses him to say to us, enjoy marriage with the wife, singular, that you love. The final thing here is enjoy work. Verse 9, second half into verse 10. In your toil at which you toil under the sun, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Solomon assumes that we will toil, note that we will work. And whatever it is that our hand finds to do, whether we are a tradesman, whether we're a teacher, whether we're doing fishing or whatever, we're being taught here to do it with all our might. Jesus did that. The Son of God. He worked as a carpenter. And I'm sure there were some jobs in the workshop that he enjoyed less than others, but he would have worked with all his might. And then in ministry, he was never half-hearted. He was never sloppy. He worked with all his might. So enjoy your work, says Solomon. Work with all your might. And if we hate our jobs, and if we're continually just tempted to be a slacker, maybe it's time that we we prayerfully consider looking for another job. Because a big part of living and enjoying life is working hard at something that we enjoy. So we're to be ready to die. We don't know the hour, we don't know the day. But if we're in Christ, if we've trusted him, then we are made ready to die. And when we are ready to die, then and only then are we made ready to live. And can we live and work to God's glory? I think I'll stop there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, your word, and we pray that you would help us as we go from here to meditate upon it. We thank you for life. We thank you for today. We thank you that you have given us this day. This is the day the Lord has made. We thank you that we have much reason to rejoice and to be glad in it. Pray for anybody here tonight, or anybody who may be watching or listening, who isn't yet ready to die, any who have been pushing away the thought of death. We thank you that, as uncomfortable as it might seem to us, in love, Lord, you confront us with this time and time again. And we pray that even this evening, we would, if we are not yet ready to die, that we would bow before the Lord Jesus, that we would confess our sin, that we would trust in him, and that we would know that we are safe for eternity. And we thank you that when we are safe for eternity, we can really enjoy our time in this world, knowing that every good gift that we receive, whether it's our meals, whether it's marriage, whether it's the occasions that we attend, whether it's the work that you put before us to do, we thank you that when we know that these are gifts that have come from your hand, we can enjoy them, and we can work, and we can eat, and we can drink, and we can live in a way that brings glory to your name. So help us to do that, we pray, and hear our prayers. Take away our sin. Help us to have our eyes now focused on Jesus as we conclude in praise. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing to finish the well-known hymn, Mission Praise 51, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.